Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 28, 1995 at Mathura Desh. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Text 20.
Occupied many posts in ISKCON, like the temple president and so on. He's in charge of many of the big responsibilities in ISKCON, like food relief and others. He is headquartered in Mayapur, and he is the GDC for Eastern India, Southern India, and so on, so Southern America, and parts of the United States. So he is always traveling all over the world, and you can hardly find a week in which he doesn't visit at least two or three countries. And we are very fortunate that after visiting Bahrain, Srila Acharyapad kindly consented to visit us at least for a day. And as we always find, when Srila Acharyapad visits Muscat, there's a great spiritual breakthrough because of his presence. And we are all very fortunate and thankful to Srila Acharyapad, in spite of his indifferent health and his busy schedule, that he has made himself available to us. Srila Acharyapad ki
jai!
Jayate.
Jayate.
Mriyate.
Mriyate.
Sva.
Sva.
Kadachin.
Kadachin.
Nayam.
Nayam.
Bhutva.
Bhutva.
Bhavita.
Bhavita.
Va.
Va.
Na.
Na.
Bhuya.
Bhuya.
Ajo.
Ajo.
Nitya.
Nitya.
Sarsvato.
Sarsvato.
Yam.
Yam.
Purano.
Purano.
Na.
Na.
Hanyate.
Hanyate.
Hanyamane.
Hanyamane.
Sarire.
Sarire.
Najayate miyate va kadachin.
Najayate miyate va kadachin.
Nayanga budhva bhavita vanabhuya.
Nayanga budhva bhavita vanabhuya.
Ajo nitya sasvato yam purano.
Ajo nitya sasvato yam purano.
Na hanyate hanyamane sarire.
Na hanyate hanyamane sarire.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, Chapter 2, Text 20. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Translation with repetition. For the soul, there is neither birth, nor death,
at any
time. He has not come into being.
He has not come into being.
Does not come into being.
Does not come into being.
And will not come into being.
And will not come into being.
He is unborn.
He is unborn.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Ever existing.
Ever existing.
And primeval.
And primeval.
He is not slain.
He is not slain.
When the body is slain.
When the body is slain.
Report. Qualitatively, this small atomic fragmental part. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called steady, da steady, or kutastha. The body is subject to six kinds of transformations. It takes birth from the womb of the mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces some effects, gradually dwindles, and at last vanishes into oblivion. Birth, growth, remaining for some time, then growth, producing side effects, dwindling, and vanishing. These are the six kinds of transformations. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born, but because he takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. He is eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. That is, there is no trace of in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man, therefore, feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree, nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different spirit souls. And owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man and woman. The body develops because of the soul's presence. But the soul has neither offshoots nor change. Therefore, the soul is free from the six changes of the body. In the Katha Upanishad 1-18, we also find a similar passage which reads, Nachayate miyate va vipaschin nayam kutaschinna bhabhuva paschit Ajo nitya sasvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. The meaning and the purport of this verse is the same as in the Bhagavad Gita. But here in this verse there is one special word, vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge or full always with consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart where he is situated, one can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to the clouds or for some other reason, but the light of the sun is always there. And we are convinced that it is there for daytime. As soon as there is a little light in the sky early in the morning, we can understand that the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. This consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme Consciousness is all knowledge, past, present, and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be useless. There are two kinds of soul. Namely, the minute particle soul, Anu Atma, and the super soul, Vibhu Atma. This is also confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 1-20 in this way. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan atma asya janto nihito guhayam kamakratu pasyati vittasoko bhatu prasadan mahivanam atmanah. Both the super soul, Paramatma, and the atomic soul, Jiva Atma, are situated on the same tree of the body within the same heart of the living being. And one only who has become free from all material desires as well as lamentations can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. Unquote. From Katha Upanishad. Krishna is the fountainhead of the super soul also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters. And Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna or by his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 20, in the matter of contents of the Gita summarized. Om Tat Sat. This is a very important verse, one of the main verses that everyone should memorize in the Bhagavad Gita. It tells us the difference between the soul and the body, which is the first step in spiritual development. We should know what is the difference between the soul and the body. The soul is never born, soul never dies. The Atma is Nitya Sasato Purano, eternal, ever existing, and it is primordial. Since time immemorial, it's been existing. Lord Krishna also previously mentioned that there was never a time when the soul did not exist, never a time when the soul will cease to be, and the soul is existing today. Biggest fear of the living entities is survival. When there's an earthquake, like there was recently in Kobe, Japan, or earlier, there was last year in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and many other places around the world. There was also in Maharashtra of India. In those moments, and what does anyone think but their survival? And the biggest of this fear of survival is something very deep within us. Because it's our nature not to die. Even a small insect, if you appear to be attacking it, it will run the other way. It wants to preserve itself. Because our nature is to always exist. So for us, death is something very unnatural. Because by nature, we are eternal. We're covered up by the body, and therefore we forget our real nature. But subconsciously, that tendency, the want to always exist, is there. We cannot take it away. Prabhupada brings up an interesting point. The soul doesn't age. So even though our body ages, we don't feel intellectually like a different person. Somehow, in spite of the changes in the body, there's a type of continuity. Because the consciousness is riding in this body. The body is going through the changes of time. But the Atma is not changing. There's sometimes you can even see old people playing and joking around like kids on rare occasions. So these things are very crucial information. But unfortunately, in the colleges, in the high schools, in the educational institutions of the world, this basic truth of life is not available. There's no subject about Atma Vigyan, science of self, science of the soul. I was studying at Ivy League University in America, Brown University, connected with Harvard and Cornell, Yale, Columbia. The thing that I found that there was, nobody knew what the purpose of life was. I would ask the professors, what are we doing all this for? And they said, don't ask stupid questions. Study your physics. Study your chemistry. There was no scope to know what is the higher purpose to life. You just have to go with the flow and don't think too much. To hear the Bhagavad Gita, this is really essential information for any civilized human being. With this information, a person can achieve real inner peace just by knowing that I don't die. No one dies. One Hare Krishna preaching devotee was distributing books in the airport in New Orleans of United States, and one businessman, actually that day there was nobody buying any Bhagavad Gita. So she prayed to Krishna, if there's anybody that you can send me who can I can help with the Bhagavad Gita, please use me as your nimitta matram, as your instrument. Another plane landed, another group of passengers went by. There was one businessman, he was in a big hurry. She said, my dear sir. And he said, don't talk to me. Today is the worst day in my life. So don't talk to me. So the lady preacher said, well, if today is the worst day in your life, I'm here to help people who have bad days. That is what Krishna devotees do, is they help people with bad days. What's wrong? You tell me. Maybe I can help you. Why is it today the worst day in your life? He said, the whole life, what am I working for? I'm going to school, going to college, getting a good job. What am I working for? I'm doing everything to please my mother. For me, my mother is the dearest person in my life. And today I got the news, my mother has died. So what am I living for? I don't have any purpose to my life. So then the preacher said that, look at you see, here is the book, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has the information. And showed this verse. You see here, for the soul there's neither birth nor death. There's never a time when it ceases to exist. Your mother is not dead. Your mother is still living right now. She simply left her body and now she has gone somewhere else. The consciousness, which is the vital person, not the body. She is still existing. And she explained this basic philosophy. This person never heard this. He never knew. And he said, "You made this. You made me completely peaceful." Took the Bhagavad Gita, gave a $25 donation, said, "Thank you very much." Many people misunderstand why the devotees are there distributing the books around the world, is to help people with this knowledge. That is the amazing thing, that although we have such a so-called advanced civilization, rockets, airplanes, jets, telephones, satellites, so many technological wonders, computers, but the vast, overwhelming majority of people don't know what is the purpose of life. They don't know this basic fact of life, that we are the eternal soul. And what is the nature of this eternal soul? So what happens is that most people, they just go on blindly acting like everyone else. This is called gada gadalika. It's like the fish in the river. Whichever way the fish swim, they all swim. This way, that way. And so in Bengal, in the river, there's a type of fishing contraption they have. They make it out of bamboo. I don't know if they have in Kerala or other places, but in Bengal I've seen. That has got like a funnel entrance with a little hole. So the fish swim in the funnel, and when they're inside the whole basket, they can't find that little hole. They naturally go along the side of the basket and they get caught. They can't get out. They don't look in the center where the hole is. Psychologically, the fish always go by the side. They swim along the side. So one fish goes inside that trap, and all the fish follow, one after another. Even inside there might be a fish there telling the other fish, "Don't come! It's a trap! Don't come inside!" I said, "Why everyone's going?" "They're all going." "But I'm inside the trap here, don't come in." "No, but they're all going, I'm going to see you." That is the nature. You know, one of the things that people, you have to hear if you start practicing the Bhagavad Gita, start practicing Bhakti Yoga, self-realization. People say, "Well, why everyone not doing it? Why don't you do like everyone else?" It's like the fish philosophy. Do like all the fish that are getting caught in the net. Don't break free. Gada, gadalika. Just follow with everyone into the trap. Actually, to take up spiritual life, a person has to be a very rugged individual thinker. Because the tendency is just go where everyone's going. And not to think about it. But what are the Vedas telling us? Jagrata. Wake up. Athat brahma jigyasa. Inquire. Make inquiry. Think. Wake up. Consider, what is the purpose of life? Sarai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti ahukhaja. What is the paro dharmo? What is the supreme occupational duty of the human being? All these things that Vedas are telling us. They're actually trying to awaken our intellectual search for the truth. We don't have to look very far. Bhagavad Gita gives us the basic information we're looking for. Lord Krishna has collected everything. That's why even Shankaracharya stated that all the Vedas, if you take it like a cow, and Krishna is like the milkman, and Arjuna is like the calf. So Krishna is taking the milk out of the cow. So the cream of the Vedas, taking the cream and the milk out of all the Vedas and giving to Arjuna. What is the most important thing you get from the cow? You get the milk. So that is being taken out and given. So we can get the essence of all the Vedas right in the 700 verses, 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. In this wide literature, we can get a clear overview of what life is. How there's a vast order to everything and how this underlying reality. The wonder of human life is that a human being can understand what is the Atma. Animals can't understand. You ever try to tell a cat, you are not a cat. My dear cat, you are not a body, you're not the cat. There's that famous Hitopadesh story, how the fox fell into some blue color, and all the animals in the jungle thought that he was special, so they made him the king of the jungle. Even the lion never saw a blue animal, so thought, well, he's something more than I am. But then all of a sudden in the night, when one fox started to go the hoo-hoo, he couldn't resist. Then he also, the jackal, started to go hoo-hoo. Then he was exposed. And the lion said, this is just a jackal. And it's finished. So the animals, they're going to follow their nature. That's their instinct. That's the way they're programmed. Very difficult for them to break loose. But a human being has got higher intelligence. That's why I said, more than a human being is a twice born. And everyone should be born twice. First we're born by mother and father. Today we had a Diksha ceremony. People took initiation. To be born by Guru and Shastra. This is essential for human development. If we are not born by the Guru, if we are just born by the flesh, then we're not really considered to be a fully developed human being yet. They were only developed animalistically. We had not developed spiritually. So everyone needs to find a Guru. Man, woman, they need to serve Krishna, serve Vishnu under the guidance of a Guru. And understand all this science that's been revealed in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is essential for our human development. Otherwise, what Bhagavad Gita is telling us, we go through the human life, if we don't awaken, it's a big waste. We go through the life, those changes are there. What are the changes? First we're born, then we stay for some time, we grow, we produce some children, then we gradually diminish, get old, then the body dies. These are the changes we go through. Now again, what happens? Dehinosmin jata dehi ko manam jo manam jara dehandara prapti dhirastatya manamu yate. Atma again goes to a new body. Whole cycle repeats itself. So we go like that, birth after birth. Someone wants to be a musician, maybe they go again and again, becoming born in a family of musicians. Someone may be a scientist, they get born again and again in a family of someone who can become a scientist again. Child prodigies. Because in previous life they didn't finish what they wanted to do in that area. But that way you can go on again and again, so many births, and not really make progress. But it's life progress in one field. But the real goal of human life is to end this whole cycle of birth and death, to make a very great change and go be completely liberated from the cycle of birth and death. To actually regain our knowledge of the self, our knowledge about Krishna, about Vishnu, the origin of everything, the Param Brahma. Atat the Brahma Jigyasa, we should inquire. But that's what's missing in the modern society. Everything has been oriented around the body. A little bit for the mind, little art, music, little mortal passion. to actually understand the self, the purpose of life, this is the big lack. This was the whole culture of India. Previously, what did people do? There was no television, no radio. We know that you can still go to Guru Vayur, you can see the dramas all night. They perform the traditional dramas about Ramayana, Krishna, Mahabharata, Krishna Leela. People would entertain themselves by remembering the different histories of the Vedas, about the avatars. In this way they would get some spiritual inspiration. They would go and listen to classes, they would chant bhajans, Narayaniyam, or Vishnu Sahasranam, whatever different mantras. For the general public, drama was a very big, and different kinds of bhajans. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed that in all the Vedas, for spiritually awakening ourselves, the most effective and the most highly recommended means for this modern age is to chant the mantras. Even someone might not be very inclined in all these things, but if they chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then this spiritual interest awakens. And they become inspired to go deeper into what is the real purpose of life. So we're not just meant to be born, stay around, grow, produce some byproducts, dwindle, and be finished. And it's over. That's a futile, hopeless kind of existence. And if we really understand that I'm not the body, that I'm the soul, and I'm going to live after this body. I mean, our parents have given so much emphasis to go to college, get a degree, get a good job, think of your future. In the same train of thought, isn't it good once we got all the education, what about our spiritual education? What about the next life? Where are we going to go after this? Now we may have a nice flat, just like people, you're working here, expatriates. Now the company gives you a good house. Such a nice hall is here. But you know that when your contract is over, you have to go back to wherever you came from. So that you save up money and you build a house in your own homeland. Or make some arrangement for the future. If you just spend all the money here, then what would you gain? When you leave, then where will you stay? So naturally everybody thinks, well, what will happen when my contract is over? You save money. In fact, Indians are famous for saving their money, that they're very good at conserving and saving and investing in a good house. Famous. It's more the Western people tend to just spend it all. Credit cards. So in the same way, does it make sense also, what about the next life? We're going to have to leave this life. So where do we go next? We're putting all energy into our house in India, but that house, how many years will we live there? Someone who works till they're 60, they go to India, retire, 65 they leave. 5 years they may spend in the house. Or maybe they go earlier when they're 45 or 50 and spend 15 years. Then it goes to their children. But where do they go in next life? Will they be born in India, or will they be born in Muscat, or in Dubai, or in America, or in Borneo, or Africa, or where? Or in another planet? The human beings have an option to plan out not only this life, but the next life. And if we don't do it, what could be more foolish? If we just leave this life and don't think what will be the next life, does it make any sense? In the way the modern world is set up, you can spend the whole life in front of a television. Right? And you don't even know how the time is going. One of my disciples, I said, how is the wife doing? She said, well, she's only 44. She said she wants to watch television for 6 more years before she can chant Hare Krishna. Of course, sometimes it's the men say that. It depends, every family. But and now in India, the craze is the channels. So many more channels. Star TV, cable TV. So people are going mad after watching all the channels. When we have a big festival, we have to schedule it when there's not a movie going on. As soon as the movie is over, you see the crowd coming into the pandal. So, somewhere in the West, people are already fed up. Only about 40-50% of the people watch TV anymore. They get fed up. Even the children, they use it as a bribe. You do all your studies, you can watch for 1 hour a day. Or 1 hour a week. If they let them watch all the time, their brain finishes. They call it the idiot tube. Scientifically proven not to make your brain work. All the pictures do the work for you. If you read a book, your brain works much more. So, anyway, those are relative. We use TV, we have so many videos. But the real point I want to get to is that how, as a human being, we should take advantage. And this was the glory of India. This is what sets aside Indian and Asian culture, is that spirituality is a way of life. It wasn't just something you do on Sundays. It wasn't something you do only once in a while. It was a whole way of life. And the westernization of India is a big loss. If people give up the spiritual way of life and imitate the West, what could be a greater loss? Look at all the crime, the drug addiction, the problems in the West. That's a Prabhupada, he said, let's take Western economic development and technological development. This is like Lakshmi and Saraswati, which is like India's culture, music, spiritual development, the higher cultural and spiritual development of mankind. The two should be combined together like the two sisters, Lakshmi and Saraswati. Just the one is empty. It's not enough. You need both to have a complete human civilization. So that's why you find this synthesis. So we will use the material things. We're not averse to using whatever material thing. But we'll use it to promote Indian culture, Indian thought, spiritual, not the mundane aspect, but the ancient continent of India's spiritual heritage. That we want to preserve and promote. So Lord Chaitanya said that everyone who's born in that culture of Bharat, they should perfect their lives and they should help others to perfect their lives thereafter. Vara bhumite manushya janma hoilo jar janma shartaka kori koroporo upukar. So we should really set our priorities. What is our priority in life? What do we want to achieve in life? Everything you can have, you know. We want a good health, want a happy life, peaceful mind. And we want also that we can have a spiritual life. We can have understanding what is my purpose in life. After this life, I can go back to Krishna. I can go back to Vaikuntha. You know, this world is temporary. In this world, people tend to have so much greed and so many vices. Prabhupada once said that this world is not a place for a gentleman or gentlewoman. Even our friend will stab the knife in the back sometimes out of greed. There's no need, but they'll do anyway. How many property fights is that? So many people are dying all over the world. intrigues. So this is a very difficult world to live in. Superficially, like right now in America, they're doing this big case. One of the big rich sportsmen has over $10 million. He's accused of murdering his wife and her boyfriend. The Simpson case, every day is coming in the paper. Is he guilty or not? This is the big question. So many evidences and big media events.